In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This is Cole Turner. You're listening to Roster Watch.
Roster Watch Nation, what is up and welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch YouTube program and podcast program. I'm Cody Carpentier, joined by the Trash Man today. We're going to continue our series talking through positions in fantasy football for players that can break out, maybe get into the top 10 at their position and give you something to look forward to in 2025. The last 2 weeks we've talked about receivers and running backs. Last week, I think Trash Man tabbed Rashee Rice as the next breakout. Rashee Rice, I combated him a little bit because he kind of broke out already, but here nor there. Breakout.
1,000-yard season.
He hasn't got that 1,000-yard season. He's this close. I think he'll do it this year if he stays healthy and does not suffer from a suspension. But today, we're going to talk about tight ends. If you want to get the OTA update, because the OTAs have been going on this week, we did an OTA update show on Wednesday. Alex, Trashman, and I, you can go check that out on the Roster Watch YouTube or podcast platform, anywhere you get your podcast. Make sure to click that like button, click subscribe if you're here on YouTube. And if you're on pod, of course, leave a 5-star review. Trashman, how the hell are we doing?
You know, just rolling with the punches, rolling with these tornadoes rolling through Central Texas.
I saw some wind storms happened in Austin last night, and it took out like the left field wall of the Dish Falk College baseball stadium.
Yeah, it was hailing. There was like, you know, trees getting down in people's yards. Like I lost a couple big branches, but
no house damage.
No.
Good to hear. All right, let's talk about these tight ends then. Something that's not windy, but tall and big like a tree. Tight ends. All right. Last year, we had a couple of breakouts that maybe people didn't see coming, and that's kind of what we're going to try and tab today. I think a lot of people saw the Brock Bowers thing coming. I'm not sure if they saw him finishing as the tight end number one overall with 262 points, averaging 15.5 fantasy points in PPR per game, up there with Trey McBride, George Kittle, averaging over 15 points.
Was he overall?
He was overall.
I thought Kittle was overall.
Well, Kittle was at average, 15.8. He was tight end one on average, was Kittle, and then number two was McBride, and three was Bowers, 15.8, 15.6, 15.5. But overall total points, week 1 through 18, was Bowers at 262, McBride 249, and George Kittle 236. Those were the top three dogs, followed by Jonnu Smith, 222, so it's a kind of 14-point drop, and then a 25-point drop down to Kelce. So still, even though Kelce kind of took that step back, there's still like a small tight tier of top dogs at the tight end position if you can get it right.
Where are you looking at that? Where are you getting that info?
I'm on Fantasy Pros, 2024 results, week 1 through 18, PPR.
Okay. Maybe it's that PPR that's doing it.
PPR is probably what's doing it.
I was looking at FF today, and there's
They half maybe or standard?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's standard scoring.
All right. So if I toggle to standard scoring, then yes, George Kittle is tight end one, 158 to 150 over Brock.
Still PPR.
Yeah, I mean PPR is, you know, it's becoming king, I think. I mean, this isn't 2003 anymore, Trashman. We're not doing standard zero. That's not fun. That's not fun to watch.
I'm surprised how many people who I consult with haven't switched over to PPR yet.
It's like there's a my brother's in town right now, and he helps my uncle in a league that's been going on for, I think it's like 33 or 34 years. And like their big thing, they haven't even gotten close to like putting Superflex in, but like their big thing, I think it was 2 years ago, was like, should we add half PPR? Half PPR. Should we add half? And they did half. And these is like five-man rosters, like one QB, one running back, one receiver, two flex. Tight ends are worthless in this league. And it's like, should we add half PPR? I was like, come on, guys. You've been doing this for 30 years. You got to adjust and with the times. But anyway, PPR. Last year, a couple of notables that jumped into the top 10, Jonnu Smith came out of left field and ended up as the tight end 4 in PPR. The year before, he was
– Is this one of your breakout candidates?
No. I'm just going through the top 10 guys that are breakouts, and then then we can jump into our guys. I'm just talking about last year's guys that were in the top 10 that kind of were surprises. So Jonnu Smith ended up as tight end 4 overall last year with the Dolphins. Of course, there's some injuries going on in Miami. Then we also had Zach Ertz rear his head in Washington. He actually ended up in the top 10 as well at tight end 7. And then Tucker Kraft was tight end 10 in PPR. Just a couple of notable guys that did make it up into that top 10. Trashman, do you want to start with your first tight end breakout in 2025?
All right. I'll go with Pat Freiermuth. I guess it was close to a breakout for Freiermuth in 2024. You know, 7 touchdowns, 653 yards. But I think he can best that number this season as potentially the number 2 target in Pittsburgh behind DK Metcalf. I mean, if you look at that passing game right now, it's not that deep. And I think Pat Freiermuth, you know, he's a quarterback's best friend, kind of tight end, a safety valve there. And I think he can get closer to 1,000 yards or at least double-digit touchdowns this season based just on, you know, necessity in that offense. So, yeah, Pat Freiermuth, I think, is going to take a big step up in 2025. I think he could be a top-5 tight end when all is said and done.
Top 5 for Freiermuth. I mean, this has been – Freiermuth is definitely one that – I think he came out the same year as Hunter Long. Was that 21? Doesn't matter. But I was like, man, both of these guys are just kind of like that old school big body. And Hunter Long has kind of fizzled out. I think he was with like, you know, the Rams and then the Dolphins, and he hasn't really done much. He's from Boston College. But Freiermuth has been kind of like feels like he's right on the tip of the iceberg as far as, like you said, breaking out and becoming the next big tight end that can kind of put himself in the top 5 for a couple of years. And now with the departure of George Pickens, I know they got Roman Wilson there with DK Metcalf, but Freiermuth, I mean, he's definitely got more skins on the wall than Roman Wilson does right now in Pittsburgh. I'm going to go to Jacksonville. They just lost Evan Ingram, or they kicked him to the curb. He went to Denver. And in a couple of games last year, we saw some bright – some bright potential from Brenton Strange, 6'4", 253 pounds from Penn State, another Penn Stater here. I think in this role in Jacksonville, when I think about the receiving core in Jacksonville, it's Brian Thomas, it's Travis Hunter, and then you have De'Ami Brown and Parker Washington, who are rather unproven. De'Ami Brown showed he can play football. Right, he hasn't played quite how he looked at North Carolina before he came out, but he's there and he's in a top 4 role in that wide receiver room right now. Like, it's literally, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me why they would have him in that situation. But Parker Washington, a guy that they kind of groomed under Christian Kirk, feels like he could be in that slot spot, but they still need another target. And Brenton Strange just filling right in for Evan Ingram is a guy that, you know, against the Jets last year had a 12 target game, caught 11 for 73 yards. Didn't have a lot of touchdowns last year. Had a couple early on, only had 2 total touchdowns, but 40 catches, 411 yards, multiple games. You see this guy get targeted 3, 4, 5, 6 times throughout the year. I think he just grows into year 3. We could see Brenton Strange take a massive leap forward and boost that 53 target number up to maybe 90 to 100 targets. So I'm going to go Brenton Strange. I think he's got a real chance to jump into the top 10 this year.
And your boy Hunter Long there right now?
I think you're right. I think he might be in Jacksonville. I mean, he's been everywhere the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think he's in Jacksonville right now.
He ain't going to do a damn thing.
The next guy for me is going to be Chigokwe Okonkwo in Tennessee.
Ooh, I want to hear this.
I mean, he's got a rookie quarterback who's likely to start. I mean, and a rookie quarterback's best friend is the tight end, is his safety valve. I mean, and just look at the other options there in the passing game. They have Calvin Ridley, sure. Tyler Lockett, we don't know what he has anymore. Van Jefferson, we don't know what he's ever really had. He's never really been a standout. He's never lived up to his potential in the NFL. Tyler Lockett has, but he's long in the tooth now. That leaves Calvin Ridley, who can also disappear at stretches. I think Okwonkwo offers a consistent target for the young Cam Ward. He's had, you know, breakout games. He's had situation, you know, he had like a 70-yard touchdown game in 2024. His routes, his yards per route run in 2023 was 2.61. It was elite. I think if he puts everything together and he gets, you know, a consistent target share in Tennessee this season with Cam Ward, I think we could really see Okwonkwo step up in the tight end rankings.
I like that because he's been kind of like on the cusp, but the quarterback play's been so bad. It's like the guy's getting targeted. The quarterback play's just been so bad. I do wonder what the other guys in that tight end room do, though. I think this is a good thought process here of saying, well, this guy was a fourth round pick 3 years ago, and he's been doing it at a level high enough with bad quarterback play that he'll probably just be the guy because he knows the offense, rather than like you think of like a Gunnar Helm, who was in Texas last year, targeted a bunch, really good football player, but he's a rookie. And then you got Josh Wiley, who's not as talented as either of these guys from Cincinnati that was a rookie last year. I think it's just a classic, hey, tight ends never really, unless you're Brock Bowers or you're special, have a great first year. It's usually a
3-year process.
Say that again?
It's usually a 3-year process.
Yeah, and that's what you got here. You got Chig, who just went through year three, and he's maturing into being a pro. I mean, this is an offense. This is a situation for him to where he should excel. I'm going to go up to New York. Theo Johnson, I'm going to stick with Penn State here, 6'6", 264 pounds. This is going to be his second season. He had 43 targets last year with the Giants, 331 yards and a touchdown. Theo Johnson, from an athletic standpoint, when he came out of college, like most guys that came out of Penn State, a physical, athletic Adonis. This guy ran a 4.57, 93rd percentile for tight ends, 90th percentile speed score, 96th percentile burst score, 98th percentile catch radius. Like, this is just what he is. And speaking of rooms that maybe aren't decimated, but just lack fulfillment from real talent, I think of the New York Giants, where we know they have Malik Nabers, but like we talked about yesterday on the OTA show, Malik Nabers isn't there right now. He's got a toe injury that he dealt with last year, and he hasn't been practicing. It's like, all right, well, let's look at the rest of this room. Darius Slayton, Jalin Hyatt. All right, fine. Think whatever you think about them, but they're not elite, and they're not dependable targets. Wan'Dale Robinson. Yeah, he can get 100 targets. He can be your Lockett-type guy, your underneath relief target. But after those three names, even if you think positively about Slayton or Hyatt, it's Zach Pascal, Amir Smith-Marset, Lil Jordan Humphrey, Bryce Ford Wheaton, my guy Juice Wells from Ole Miss. Like, it's not really that good of a core, and you have Theo Johnson now. Yes, he's with Daniel Bellinger, who was in a year ago. Yes, Greg Dulcich signed there after getting cut from Denver. But this is Theo Johnson's opportunity to be the athletic tight end that breaks out in year two. Hopefully not year three. Hopefully he's a year two guy and jumps into – I'm not sure if he can quite get the top 10, but given the – lack of true weaponry here, mm-hmm. I would not be shocked if Theo Johnson got 80 to 100 targets here in 2025 and caught 6, 7, 8, 9 touches. This guy's 6'6", 265 pounds. Like, he should be a dominator down there in the red zone. Kind of think about like Kyle Rudolph back in the day. He would finish as a top 15 tight end just on the merit of catching 8 to 12 touchdowns in a given season. So I'm going to go Theo Johnson here with the Giants finishing. Just, I'm not sure if he can quite get up there, but I'm going to say he can get up to the top 10 mark this year.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Okay. I'm going to stay in the same state, but go to a different team. For me, it is the one rookie that I think, maybe not the one, but one of the rookies that I think could end up popping in his first year as an NFL tight end, and that's Mason Taylor of the Jets. Second round pick. He's got the pedigree of his father. Tyler Conklin's left to the Chargers. Really good college production, 55 receptions in his last season. Jeremy Ruckert's his main competition there. I just think there's just a dearth of options there for the Jets in the passing game. Outside of Garrett Wilson, you know, their starters right now, Josh Reynolds, Alan Lazard, they're fine, but neither one of those guys I would consider chain movers. I think Mason Taylor could really step into that position for Justin Fields, who's going to need that outside of, you know, Garrett Wilson, who's a big time playmaker. I just think that the opportunity is going to be there for Taylor, and I think the targets are going to be there for Taylor, and we know he has the athletic ability.
I thought you were going to go. My brain registered hearing New York with the state. Obviously, they don't play in the state. They play in New Jersey, which is the only other same state as the Jets. So my brain went, damn, he's going to steal my guy. My guy is going to be Dalton Kincaid, a guy it feels like maybe he could have broke out by now, but he didn't because he was targeted so much as a rookie. He had 91 targets, 673 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's only had 2 touchdowns each of the last 2 seasons. He's got 4 in 29 career games. Now, a lot of that has to do with the fact that James Cook scored a bunch last year. Josh Allen runs the hell out of the ball. And they've had, you know, a year ago, requisite wide receiver talent to catch touchdowns. 2 years ago, I should say, to catch touchdowns. I like Keon Coleman. I talked about him on the wide receiver show, so this could be contradictory. And I guess if both of them break out, then you'd have probably Buffalo being first or second in the league in scoring and an improvement. So we'll go with it. I like Dalton Kincaid here. When you look at the age at which breakout happened, when you look at George Kittle, his rookie season, he was age 24. He had 63 targets, 515 yards, 2 touchdowns. Age 25 was his second season, 1,300 yards, 5 touchdowns on 136 targets, getting into that offense. That's massive. That's a much bigger breakout than I think you can even expect from a Kincaid in this specific offense. You think back to Travis Kelce, his first year, he played one game, didn't catch a ball. Second year, 800 yards, 5 touchdowns. Third year, 800 yards, 5 touchdowns. It was the fourth year before he went over 1,000, before he caught 4, 8, 10 touchdowns year over year over year. Kincaid is now 25 years old. He'll be in his age 26 season, in his third season, like we talked about a minute ago. It's now or never for Dalton Kincaid to take that step, to be that move tight end, to be that guy. Because when you think of the Buffalo Bills, obviously we talked about it. They didn't add a ton. Yes, we like Elijah Moore. Yes, they added Josh Palmer. I don't like him. Alex don't like him. I don't know if you like him. I know Byron loves him. But I don't think that adding Josh Palmer is that big of a thing to this offense. Love Keon Coleman. Pretty unproven. Khalil Shakir, think what you think about him. I think there's opportunity here for a guy like Dalton Kincaid to really take a step forward and not really just be the Travis Kelce here, but potentially actually be the Travis Kelce and actually be the target leader on this roster when you really think about Keon Coleman, Josh Palmer, and Khalil Shakir from a top-down level. So I'm going to go Dalton Kincaid 100% finishes in the top 12 this year.
Okay. I mean, yeah, you could definitely see Kincaid making a move up. He should have by now.
Sure.
Okay, for me, next guy who I think might be likely to enter the top 10 is Isaiah Likely of the Baltimore Ravens. I know that the Ravens say that they, you know, that are happy that Mark Andrews is there. But Mark Andrews, he lost in that playoff game last season. I mean, single-handedly. And Likely has shown really nice flashes instance while, you know, Mark Andrews was sidelined for the Ravens. Likely averaged 9.02 PPR fantasy points over the final 5 weeks of the regular season. Had a breakout game in week one, 9 catches, 111 yards, 1 touchdown, 1.93 yards per route run, which is impressive. 2.41 target separation, which is fifth among tight ends in 2024. I know that Mark Andrews has been reliable over the years, but likely, I mean, he has all the metrics. He has the production and limited stints to show that he can excel in this position for the Ravens as Mark Andrews, you know, he's on the sunset of his career. And this could be the season that likely takes over in Baltimore.
Just down the road, similar situation, like you said, an aging guy with a young guy behind him. Reading through Zach Ertz's, consistency of staying on the field. 2020 played 11 games. 2021 he played 17 across two teams, Philly and Arizona. He played 10 games in 2022, 7 in 2023, and then this past year he played 17 games for the Commanders, including going all the way to the NFC Championship. A lot of games on a 34 to now 35 year old body for Mr. Zach Ertz. He'll be 35 this upcoming season. Ben Sinnott is going to be my play here. He's a guy right now in Dynasty. I think I got him right around tight end 24. So right on the fringe of falling outside the tight end 2 area, right next to Harold Fannin and Jatavion Sanders. I think Jatavion Sanders is an interesting conversation here too. We can talk about later. But Ben Sinnott, the tight end out of Kansas State, another one that's rather athletic in his frame, 6'4", 247 pounds. I watched him last year at training camp up there. He didn't really do a damn thing this year, 5 for 28. This is a long shot breakout. But the thing is, he sat and learned behind a guy in Zach Ertz who finished as tight end 7 last year. And if Ertz's body doesn't hold up and he only plays 5, 6, 7 games like he has shown to do multiple times over the last couple of years, I think we see Sinnott take a massive step forward in this offense and create that connection with Jaden Daniels that I saw at training camp this last year. So I'm going to go Ben Sinnott in Washington, long shot.
Okay. I have another rookie who I don't think is that much of a long shot. And he's taken 14th overall in the draft. So that shows that they're planning on using him. That's Tyler Warren for the Colts. I know that Jelani Woods is still there. He's had an injury plagued career, you know, but he's shown promise at times, but yeah, you don't draft a guy at 14th overall, to not have, you know, plans for him to be your pass catching tight end. And that's what the Colts did for Tyler Warren. 56 receptions, 749 yards his last season at Penn State. It's just, you know, he's in the similar mold of a Brock Bauer, of a Shane LaPorta. I think he's a guy that you can plug in right now in that offense, in an offense that I think they're going to need a consistent tight end to, if Anthony Richardson is going to step up this season, I think he's going to need a safety valve. And Tyler Warren represents that. I mean, and even if it isn't Anthony Richardson under center, I think that whoever's under center there is going to need a safety blanket like Tyler Warren to thrive in Indianapolis. So that's why I think Warren is another rookie who I think could potentially break into the top 10 and have a breakout season in his rookie year.
Can I break the rules here?
I don't know. I didn't know there were any rules.
So if there's no rules, I mean, we can break the rules, I think. So breakout is a breakout. Top 10. This guy finished in the top 10 once. Pretty good. Had a good year. Hasn't since. He went on a touchdown drought. Every year, though, 1, 2, 3, 4 touchdowns. Year over year over year. 1,000 yards as a rookie, right? This is not going to break out because technically I think he's already broken out. But let's just say he's going to have a rebirth. He's going to have a rebirth into breaking out, into relevancy. Kyle Pitts. Give me Kyle Pitts with a rebirth. Coming back, he had 600 yards each of the last 2 years. right? I don't know. I just think Kyle – listen, you making a face here, but I also know you like Michael Penix.
I think everyone listening or watching this podcast made a face when you said that.
That's weird. Isn't that weird that Kyle Pitts gets that, though? That's like –
No, it's not weird. Everything that he does on the field has been weird up to this point, to where you're used to, you know, making weird faces whenever you hear any news about Kyle Pitts.
I'm gonna say Kyle Pitts walked so Brock Bowers could run, and now because Kyle Pitts has been in a weird situation and had droughts and hasn't been used how he needs to be used. Everyone's just kind of like, yeah, this guy sucks. I don't think he sucks. I wonder if Michael Penix, a guy that like fed Jalen McMillan, fed Roma Dunze, fed Jalen Polk at Washington, he can come into Atlanta and on a full season, he can feed Drake London and Kyle Pitts. I think he can. I'm going to go. I think Kyle Pitts rebirth in 2025. You got one more?
I got one more that I can. I mean, we've talked about him just briefly, but I think he's got a chance to really break out. I mean, he was in the top 10, I think technically, he was 10th, and that's Tucker Kraft, 707 yards, 7 touchdowns in 2024. I think it's just the kind of situation where he just gets better in that offense. He solidified his role as Green Bay's number one tight end in 2024. That didn't happen, over the entire season. So I think he's got a chance. If he is the number one guy, which it looks like he is for the entire season, his 8.8 yards per catch led all tight ends, forced 15 missed tackles over the course of the season. His target volume wasn't what we'd want it to be. But I think, another season under his belt, shown to be reliable, I think Kraft could, potentially be a top 7-6 tight end this season.
God, no Luke Musgrave love there. None. I love him. Maybe he just needs to stay healthy. You put two rookies on your list, Trash Man. We'll get out of here on this. A lot of people love some Colston Love when he's in Chicago. He didn't make the list for either of us. You put Tyler Warren on here, who's in Indianapolis with Richardson or Daniel Jones. He's got Pittman and Downs. You got Mason Taylor on here, who's with Garrett Wilson, Justin Fields. Should be a lot of targets there. Two rookies going into 2025. Mason Taylor, Tyler Warren, head up, 1v1. Who finishes higher in 2025 in PPR?
For me, it's Taylor right now, just based on the situation that he's in, and with the quarterback that he has, I think that Fields is better than Jones. I think I think Richardson has the upside of a Fields, but he hasn't shown enough consistency for me. I just think Taylor, with the dearth of options in the passing game for the Jets, I just think it's a perfect storm for them.
It's gross, but I think it's right.
Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. Shop our huge selection of concrete. From general purpose concrete to specialty sand and mortar mixes, we have what you need to get any job done right. View our entire selection online or in store today. and save big money. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.